around Christian faith. But it's been a bit of a somber week, hasn't it? Even on her birthday celebrations yesterday, the Queen was talking about how it feels as if we're kind of living in somber and difficult times. And of course, it's inevitable, isn't it, that excuse me, when we think a little bit about what a kind of a somber world is, we also would like to think, what would a perfect world like? What would it really, really look like? Well, if you live in Liverpool, although you support the kind of the wrong red team, you do actually have John Lennon. And John Lennon wrote, actually, in his famous song, Imagine. Imagine a world where there is, you know, no religion. His answer to there is no heaven, his answer was, let's do away with religion. If we get rid of religion, then actually the world would be a completely better place. It was late 1990, and I was standing on the bank of the River Spree, I think it is, which runs through East Germany. And that was the view that we had. There was a wall. There are watchtowers. There is barbed wire. And there is kind of a river. And that was one of the places where people tried to actually get up and say, do you know what? I want to be over that wall. I want to be the other side. And of course, in late 1990, the wall had already been taken down and people were beginning to do that. But as you looked at that and it was still standing and you looked at the horrificness of what it was like, you actually realised that this said so much about our humanity. The way in which so often we try and keep people out, people who are different, people who are different from us, have different values. Or maybe the wall was there actually to keep people in so that they had no hope, they had no aspiration. And of course, that wall also said, we are God and we decide your life, your death, your experience. But it's not just in Berlin, is it? There are so many places around the world where still today people are hostile to others. People are angry with others. People will do terrible, terrible atrocities to one another simply because they are different. So what is the hope? Because actually it seems that right within us, in our hearts, there is enmity. There is enmity towards others. There is enmity towards God. There is enmity towards anyone at White Hart Lane. That's justified, actually. No, okay, we'll just leave that one aside for a minute. So what is the answer? What is the answer that we read in today? These incredible words from Paul, who says, Christ is our peace. Jesus came to be peace. And how does he do that? He does that by taking upon himself all the hostility and the anger, and he says, I will break down the walls of division and hatred. And of course, he was speaking to a particular context. He was writing to a group of Christians who were in Turkey. But in amongst that very, very early church of Turkish Christians, there were a few Jews from Israel, and they'd go to kind of the church prayer breakfast, and they'd see the Turks eating bacon sandwiches, thinking, my goodness, how can you do that? You know, we're good Jews. You don't touch anything that's from a pig. And all these kinds of issues of racial tension, of different people from different parts of the world, religious backgrounds, meeting in this early church, thinking, how can we actually be a hope for our world? And Paul says, it is the hope because of what God has done for us in the cross, of breaking down the barrier that is between one another and the barrier that is between us and God. Why is this so important? Don't know if you've watched The Hunger Games, if you're into Katniss Everdeen. But just like you to look at this, just a little clip from the beginning of one of the Hunger Games films. And if you know the story, she lives in a isolated, in a community which is locked in. And it's, look at the cinematography. It's dark and it's grey and it's miserable. And she hops over the wall into freedom where it's green and teeming with life. Just watch this as a wonderful example of the danger of barriers and how good it is to overcome. Notice the contrast. You know, why would anybody want to live in the grey, the dirt, the poverty, the brokenness, when over the wall there is freedom and life and wonder? And of course, as we're gathered here today for a christening, we realise that actually this is possibly one of the most revolutionary things that is going on today in this country. Because actually through it, we're saying that actually baptism is about that new possibility. It's about listening to the call of God and saying, I'm not going to carry on in that place of grayness and division and darkness. But I am going to open myself to the possibility of what God has done and that invitation to live in that new opportunity that he gives us. And why? Why is the cross so important to this? He says, because it's about reconciliation, a long word. It's about bringing together people and us and God in a way that otherwise would be impossible. It's about saying, here is a reminder of what it could be. Let me take you back to the Berlin Wall. As you stand on that riverbank, and as you look to your left, and as you look to your right, as it was in 1990, they've done away with that now. But what you noticed was that there were crosses on the riverbank. And all along, there were crosses with people's names and a date. It was the date on which they were shot. Because, of course, the river was no man's land. And that bit of green grass that you can just see in the bottom at the beginning of the back was also in no man's land. Which means the East German border guards in their watchtowers on the wall would shoot across those who were trying to escape. The most horrific was as I looked down and saw one, a young guy. He was 23 years old. Date of death, the 8th of November. 1989. Why so significant? Because of course on the 9th of November that wall came down. He was 2 hours away from actually being able legally to cross the wall, and yet his life had been taken. And of course I realised that that speaks so much, doesn't it, of our human endeavour. We somehow think that we can get there on our own, that we can do it ourselves. But what Paul writes now is that Jesus is our peace. He is the one who transforms us. He is the one who enables us to live in that new community. And we have to trust him
and him alone to do it.
And of course, what then is that community life? What is that community like? How can we know something of that? I love this clip. Again, it's going back in history, but this is Desmond Tutu, and he is going to vote for the first time in his life. For him, this is the moment that's going to change the course, not just of his people's history, but suddenly one of those divisions has been taken down. Look at the joy of going to a polling station that you don't see in England. Now, I tell you, I was in the polling booth, the polling station, whatever it was, 10 days ago, just in Thornton Road Hall there, as they were voting. There was not a smiley face in there. There was certainly no dancing. Why? Because the enormity for him of this moment being the barriers are broken. But this is just about our earthly life. This is just about one vote in South Africa. Imagine the joy that we can experience when we realise that God has broken that barrier of hostility, that we can know him, we can love him, we can hear us call him, and we can respond, Abba, Father. That's what we're here today. That's what we're praying for Zachary. We're praying that he will know and hear God's call. He will know that life of peace, that revolutionary life of transformation, where God is at work in his community, bringing true life. The Queen, not necessarily responding to John Lennon. But she said, the problem isn't religion. She said, the problem is false religion. It's people who think it's the things that we do. It's our own effort as we masquerade and do things that are right. She says, no, true religion, a life transformed, is the hope of our nation. It is our hope and prayer for Zachary today as we pray for him that he will hear God's call and respond. But it's my hope and prayer too that today is a day when we will hear the call of God afresh, to know that he calls us to himself. He calls us to be people who will live in a world that break down barriers. Maybe also people who will hear that call for the first time, to know that God is calling them to himself, that we can know the transforming power of his Spirit, that we can live as people who have hope, people who have imagination, and people who long for the peace of Christ in our hearts and in our world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility between one another. He has broken down the wall of hostility between us and God, when so often our actions betrayed your love for us and the way you want us to be. Heavenly Father, we pray for Zachary today as he is baptized, that he will hear your call. He will know the refreshing of your Spirit. He will be part of this new humanity. Father, we pray for all of us that you would speak to us, call us, that we may be yours and know you and live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.